Previously on the Adventure Zone, as you step foot into the chamber that is completely made out of black glass, and as you move towards him, you see a single figure that is dwarven in shape, but it's so badly burned, with on its hand a silvery glove, a silvery gauntlet. Gundren reaches over very quickly, snatches it up, and puts it on his right hand. And he is engulfed in flame.
I regret this immediately.
He goes flying out of the room. And Killian says, "We need to get him before he destroys the whole world." The four of you in this wagon crest a hill. As you look down, you actually see a convoy of wagons that have been completely destroyed, completely burned out. And you see laid out next to them a few charred bodies that you make out to actually be orcish. You see four human figures who are sort of picking over the remains. And they have their own cage with a adolescent orc boy in it.
I am going to cast Thaumaturgy, and I'm going to yell, "Platoon 1, attack from the east! Platoon 2, attack from the west!"
The two ruffians split off, start running in either direction. You find some keys on one of those two dead bandits, and you pop open the cage. And the orcish boy doesn't seem especially grateful. He just sort of starts to walk away.
So he's an emorc.
Okay, bye.
That was pretty good.
Someone flies, someone dies. Seriously, this week someone flies and someone dies. It's the Adventure Zone!
Is there anything fun in the cart?
You actually find the stash of these ruffians. You find a deck of playing cards that are probably not legit. Probably some cheating cards is what we'll call it. I'm guessing that Magnus is going to take that since you've got sort of a what was that Mel Gibson riverboat gambling movie?
Maverick.
Maverick.
Man without a face.
You've got kind of a man.
Mad Max.
You pick that up, and you find four different sacks of coins that are sort of unevenly filled. You think that maybe it sort of refers to the pay grade that each of these ruffians had on them. But all told, there is about 220 gold pieces in between them. So you pick all that up, too.
The rest
of the stuff just kind of either junk or, you know,
Should we leave two bags? Those other guys will be back.
Taco, what's that over there? Okay, let's get in the cart. Come on.
Are we taking their cart or are we getting back in our cart?
Your cart is much better off. Their cart was fairly... I mean, they weren't dumpster divers, but they were living like dumpster divers.
I'm with you.
Living like they were diving.
Pretty good.
Thank you.
Okay, so the four of you finish up your trek to Phandalin. It is dusk. You've made very, very good time getting here, but you can tell by the fiery, burnt path that has been carved in the ground that you have not beaten Gundren to the scene. You follow this path into town. Fortunately, no buildings have been, you know, destroyed. It doesn't look like Godzilla just rushed through here. The streets in Phandalin, while crude, are fairly wide. So the damage has been minimal, but nobody's outside. Nobody's outside. Everybody has locked themselves away in their building. They in their homes, they can tell that things are pretty bad right now. You roll into Phandalin and you follow the path, and where the path terminates is the local bar.
Mm-hmm.
Which goes, the path basically burns straight into the front door, which is pretty badly scorched, but intact.
Okay. I guess let's head into the bar, see what's going on.
You walk towards the door of the bar, and A familiar...
Wait. What do I see in there? Perception check.
Oh, make a perception check into the bar?
Yeah.
You... Go ahead and roll it.
21.
You can't really see a whole lot except for the fact that it's very bright in there. It's exceptionally bright, and you hear the voice of Barry Blue Jeans actually shouting. But there is no response to Barry Blue Jeans shouting, to his cries for relief.
Oh, let's run in.
As you move towards the door, Barry Blue Jeans actually comes barreling out at you. What was his voice? Was it kind of New York-y?
Yeah, it was.
Sure.
But of course, his voice would be slightly altered if he's on fire.
He is not on fire as he is running out of the building, but he actually ducks. Oh, no, I just broke my pen. Oh, bummer.
All right, let's stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast. I broke my pen. Hold on. I can fix it. This is my stylus. I spent a lot of money on it. I breaked it. There it is. He is not on fire, but as he runs through the door, he sort of ducks just in time to dodge a fireball that has been thrown at him. And he sees you four and says, oh my God, you're back. You guys, you got to help me. I've never seen him like that. Well, obviously I've never seen him engulfed in flames and all magical and shit, but... things are really bad. You guys, you gotta calm him down. And Killian says, you would be wise to listen to him. We can't fight him right now. If we try to fight him, we're gonna lose. He's more powerful than anybody you guys have ever met. That's not an empty promise. He will incinerate anybody who defies him. We gotta calm him down and try and get that glove off of him.
Okay.
Yeah. Which means Magnus will attack, right?
No. Okay. In a surprise moment, Magnus calmly walks into the bar.
Gundren actually stops you before you can do that. He blows open the door of the bar and walks out. So now he is standing out in the streets with everyone. Kind of a high noon standoff with Gundren standing sort of in the middle of the circle composed of you three and Barry and Killian. And he says, why would you want to stop me? He says, I finally have enough power to get rid of those goddamn orcs. His voice has changed. It's almost like he's been he's been infused with something that he can't control.
I cast Charm Person on Gundren.
Okay.
Do we need to roll initiative?
No. Not yet. We're not fighting him.
Okay.
We cannot stress enough how much we are not fighting him.
We are not fighting him. He has to make a wisdom saving throw.
Okay. I rolled an 18. That's going to do it, I think. He is not charmed.
And he cast it again. I have 3 spell slots. I'm going to cast it again.
He actually, after you cast it the first time, he looks at you. His eyes are just fire now. That's not like a... description of his attractiveness. He's not looking at you smokingly. His eyes are literally fireballs.
Gundren, you have to listen. The glove is consuming you from the inside out. Remember your father in the cave. If you don't remove the glove, you're going to die.
He says,
How close am I to him?
We're not going to attack him.
You're about 8 feet away from him. He says, I can control it.
You can't look at yourself. This isn't you.
You don't know what I'm like.
Listen.
All right. I slowly walk up towards him.
He turns his flaming eyes towards you now.
That's fine. I just remind him we're cousins. We have the same bloodline.
What's my middle name? What? No, fuck it. What's my first name?
Your first name is Gundren. Your middle name is Lou. Gundren Lou.
That's right.
Gundren Lou Albano.
Put my hands on the glove.
It burns you very, very badly.
I don't care. I don't care.
Wait, no, you're taking
you
damage.
Take 5 points of damage.
I'm going to help him control it.
Okay.
Wait, take that damage.
All right.
you put your hands on the glove, and he actually steps away and seems to get more angry. What are you doing? This is mine!
With the same bloodline, I can help you control it!
I don't need your help controlling it.
Fine, go, do what you want, I don't care.
Okay.
He is all this while, the longer that you guys talked, it seemed like the fire was dying down a little bit, but as you started to touch the glove and he got very defensive, it picked up a little bit, and he's back to, like, inferno status.
Okay, listen, guys. I need to do a check to see if him being on fire gives me the idea for spicy food. That's really important, and then we can figure out a solution.
That is our overall taco quest.
It's not your taco quest.
Well, maybe
it's
that's not Taco's curse, is he's a dullard until he figures out the taco thing, because so much of his mental processes is taking up, like, by figuring out tacos.
I'm not going to be able to... Can we just talk... We can't really, like, discuss this. Do we have time to talk about it? Griffin, can we sort of talk out of character plan a little bit? Okay, listen. The only other thing I have, like, in terms of things that I might be able to do to help, I tried charming him. That didn't work. I could try Mage Hand, but I don't think I could use Mage Hand to pull the glove off.
I have Create Water, which makes it rain in a 30-foot cube. Hmm.
It seems to me like the key to this is not spells or attacks or anything. It's just talking. That what we need to do is calm him down. And because I think that the glove has taken over and it's a little bit of like a split personality thing. And we need to appeal to Gundren and get him to take the glove off. I don't think that we're going to be able to wrest it from him or beat him.
Who's got the highest charisma?
I've got +1.
Mine's -1.
Mine's +3.
Okay, why don't we just have... Let's just be simple. Why don't we just have Merle talk to him?
Yes.
He's a cleric. He's a very soothing presence. How about Merle just talks him through it? They're related. Just don't listen, Merle. Don't touch him.
Okay. Don't touch him. Don't advance on him. Think like like a hostage negotiator.
Just talk.
Are we back now? We're back in the game now.
Yes.
We're
back in the game.
Okay. Ba-do-ba-do. That's the unpause sound.
Now, Gundren, you know me. Remember Christmases at Aunt Blarg's house? Remember, and we'd sit around and drink mulled wine.
I miss her so much.
Oh, Aunt Blarg, she was a good woman.
She was until she was killed by those goddamn orcs.
Well, that was never proven. And you know what? She loved you, and she gave every year to the Orc Benevolent Fund.
I know, and that's what made her death at their hands so ironic. So painfully ironic!
It is painfully ironic, but is this what she would have wanted? Would she have wanted you to do this, to not only kill all these indiscriminate orcs, but burn your own ass up at the same time? I don't think so. Come on, why don't you just take the gauntlet off and we can all talk about it?
I don't think I can.
Oh, he's sure looking. You can. You're the strongest dwarf I know. I mean, down through the years, I've always turned to you.
Bronze strong arm is the strongest dwarf, and we both know that. So don't bullshit me.
I'm wrestling, but you are strong at heart. I've always looked up to you.
I'm scared.
You've always been my hero. Don't be scared. Look, we're all here together.
I was a fireball earlier, and it hurt.
I know. Oh, that must have hurt so bad.
It burned a lot.
Aren't you tired of hurting? Aren't you tired of fire?
I'm pretty sleepy.
Just why don't you just take a deep breath and take off the gauntlet, and everything's going to be okay.
The fire in his eyes is gone. It's back to normal dwarf eyes. His hair is gone. You see that shit just burned right up, and his clothes are a little tattered, got some burn holes in them, but otherwise he seems to be calming down pretty significantly. He says, "I'm so sorry that I killed a bunch of orcs earlier. You didn't see that, did you?"
We're gonna blame it on the dumpster divers, just for the public.
I don't know what you're talking about, but
I know
I'm just so tired.
I know. Why don't you close your eyes for a little bit, take a little nippy nap?
I would love a nippy nap.
Oh, just think about that. You know, when you get up, we'll go spelunking. You know, and share stories about Aunt Blarg.
I miss her.
I know you do.
Okay, you guys are right. I can't control this thing, and I think it's time we. Suddenly, you all hear the sound. You hear this sound, actually.
Thunk. Oh no!
I know what that is.
And Gundren takes a sudden step forward, like oh, and turns to the side and puts his hands like over his shoulders, reaching towards his back, and you can see an arrow lodged in his back. You can make a perception check if you want to try and discover the source.
Oh, gee.
I have a guess.
Yeah, right. Who saw this coming? Well, not Gundren, I guess. All right.
11.
11.
20.
Taco, you see from the outskirts of the town the figure of the orcish boy who has fired an arrow from a bow about the size of himself. And what? As soon as you as soon as your eyes meet, he turns and hoofs it. And
what's the orcish boy? What's the orcish boy's name?
That's Emork.
Dad, when Justin asked about that, it means we're about to use the name of a listener who tweeted about the show.
Yes, we now return you to our podcast.
Okay, already, I'm wrong. You know, we're having a lot of fun here today, but we need your donations to keep. We don't like doing these. You don't like doing these. The faster we hit our goal.
His name is Kurtz. His name
Kurt.
Is Kurtz.
Kurt.
With a Z. And an Kurtz. E. I think a silent E. Kurtz.
Like Colonel Kurtz.
Okay. As soon as you match eyes with Kurtz, Taco, he turns and hoofs it. And Gundren is just sort of stunned. And is suddenly completely engulfed in flames. His arms are just two columns of flame, and he's growing, and bouts of flame are sort of ripping off of his body and cutting entire buildings in half. He starts screaming, "Who did this?" And
not an orc. Wasn't an orc. No way.
And Barry goes, wasn't me. And then Gundren looks at Barry and with a giant flaming hand just sort of crushes him into the ground.
Cool.
Oh.
And Killian says, time to go. And starts running towards the center of town as Gundren just sort of keeps growing. And you hear her shout, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
No.
What about Barry?
I'm not Barry's leaving dead. With all these people here.
Barry's
I'm not
dead.
Leaving without Barry.
You look at her, and she's pointing in the center of town at a well. She says, get to the well, get to the well, get to the well, get to the well, get to the well.
I run to the well.
Not without all the... There's still tons of people here.
Gundren's growing, and just more fire is pouring off of him. He's expanding. He's actually about to envelop both you, Merle, and Magnus.
Okay, I start running for the well, but yelling, get out of your homes, get out of town now.
Okay.
All right.
You see a couple people step out of their homes and look to survey the scene. Merle, are you also following them to the well?
I think we just get out of the well.
Killian pulls out from her bag that feather duster. She taps herself with it and then fires it at the three of you. Three silvery bolts fly in your direction, and suddenly the three of you are also sort of surrounded by the soft gray light that you saw Killian surrounded by earlier in the mine. And she jumps into the well. And you hear her go, come on, come on, come on, come on!
Decision made.
Yeah, yep. I follow her.
Okay.
I follow
me
her.
Me too.
The three of you dive into the well. It is fairly deep. You fall very slowly, about 40 feet into the well. And as you look up through a small circle of light, you see the night sky grow red. And then suddenly you hear one final scream from Gundren Rockseeker. And then all of a sudden, all you see is flame above you. Just a giant burst of flame that blots out the sky and roars. It's the loudest sound in the universe. It's the loudest thing any of you have ever heard. And it lasts for about a minute and a half.
Could you demonstrate for us how that sounds, Griffin?
But like times a billion.
You're probably going to need a deep breath for a minute and a half.
I can't. I'm not. I can't.
He doesn't have enough phlegm.
I just can't do it. So that just happened. You look over at Killian. She actually is unconscious at the bottom of the well. You see that she hit her head as she was falling, even though she was falling fairly slowly. Maybe
was
it was
there
the
water in the well.
Maybe it, no, it's an empty well. Suddenly, maybe you think that maybe the three of you landing on top of her probably aided to her unconscious state.
It was her dumb idea.
Yeah,
that is true. That was on her.
And so are we.
Thank you, Dad. That's pretty good.
So now we're just like at the bottom of a well, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Good luck.
Oh, this is going good.
We really suck at this so far.
You know, in retrospect, I regret helping that Kurtz kid.
I wish we'd killed Kurtz.
I wish we'd killed Kurtz too.
I wish we.
But you know what? Kurtz. A lot of woulda, coulda, shoulda. You know what I mean?
That's true. Wish in one hand, spit in the other.
Yeah, hindsight, 2020, and all
spit
that.
On it, right? Yeah, classic.
I say so, you keep moving forward.
Can anybody levitate or anything?
I think we just live at the bottom of this well now.
The well is actually, the interior of the well is made of sort of these large cobblestones. You think maybe with enough...
AKA climbable?
Yeah, it's climbable. You think maybe you could, with a good enough, you know, climbing check, you could, one of you could sort of shimmy your way up and maybe drop a rope for the others?
I say Magnus.
Wait, hold on. I take her crossbow.
Okay, yeah, you take her crossbow from her unconscious body.
Nice!
And then wake her up with the crossbow pointed at her.
Okay. You slap her face, she doesn't wake up.
She's dead, let's go!
She is thoroughly concussed.
I don't want to just leave her.
We gotta take
her.
She's
got a magic feather duster, and if I know anything about magic, that's going to be good for dusting.
Yeah. I also take the magic feather duster and the remote control.
Okay. Yeah, you take all that stuff.
I want the feather duster.
Okay. You can have it in a little bit.
It's magical.
Okay, you can that's have the feather duster.
Justin, with your magic feather duster and your magic umbrella, so far you're looking kind of Poppins-esque. All you need is a bag of holding, because she actually had one of those in the movie.
I take the bag of holding.
Well, you don't... She didn't...
He means Mary Poppins.
You got very confused there.
Okay, I climb the well. I drop a rope.
Well, you're going to make a check, dog.
Oh, okay.
You can't just say shit and then have it happen.
I climb the well.
Fly out of the well.
This isn't the secret.
I got, what is it, acrobatics or athletics?
Is there not a climbing skill?
No. I think it's athletics. Yeah. I roll the 19.
Okay. Yeah, that is sufficient. It's a long hike up to the top, but you manage to crest the top of the well. The structure at the top of the well, right? The I don't know what it would be called. The top of the well with the bucket and the rope and pulley and all that shit is gone. It's just gone. It's gone. And as you look around, you realize everything's gone. Fandolin's gone. As you put your arm up over the end of the well to pull yourself up, you hear that same sound because the entire town where it used to be, you look around and for about a half mile in diameter, all that you can see is black glass, a circle of black glass on the ground.
Well, this all sucks.
It does suck.
Okay, I drop the rope and yell down, tie it around her before you climb up.
Okay, we'll say we could do a bunch of strength checks here, but that would be boring. You managed to get everybody up out of the well, including Killian. That's a group effort, pulling her up. She's a big orc woman.
Griffin, can I do an arcana check on the feather duster to figure out what it is?
Yeah, sure.
15.
It is just what it looks like. It is an enchanted feather duster that...
just what it looks like.
Well, no, it's an enchanted feather duster that is imbued with charges of the spell Slow Fall. Okay, it's a very specific...
Can I do a perception check to look at the field of glass?
Yep.
18 here.
Okay.
Mine is...
Yeah, mine's a 6.
16.
Okay. You guys don't actually need a particularly high check because there's nothing in this field of black, this circle of black glass, except, again, in the very epicenter, a burned out, blackened dwarven figure with its right arm in the air. And on the end of the right arm is a silvery gauntlet.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Well,
here's the thing. There must be a way to contain it that she must have known about because she was specifically going to get that gauntlet. So the person we need right now is unconscious.
So the person we... Okay. On the one hand... First off, let's take a moment to mourn Phandalin. A lot of good people. A lot of people today. Sorry, everybody, that we misadventured. Sorry about Kurtz.
We gotta fucking retire our Barry Blue Jeans merch.
Yeah.
Barry Blue Jeans Jr. is sure to make an appearance.
Barry Jorts. Hi, everybody. I'm Barry Jorts.
You know how kids love the dark characters. They're gonna flock towards Kurtz shirts.
Yeah.
Kurtz shirts. Listen.
So Kurtz it hurts is what it'll say on it.
I got the Kurtz squirts. Is what it'll say.
Wait, what?
You know, the Kurtz squirts. When you get so excited whenever Kurtz shows up, you squirt a lot. Hey, Dungeoneers. It's your DM, Griffin McElroy. Hi, how's it going? You enjoying the episode? I hope so. We worked really hard on it. Well, we played Dungeons & Dragons and recorded ourselves doing it. I don't know if that constitutes hard work. We're not working in a salt mine. Thank you all so, so much for listening to our fledgling podcast. This episode is going to wrap up the first sort of chapter of our story, Here There Be Gerblins. In 2 weeks, we will start the next part of our story where Merle, Taco, and Magnus will, well, I'm not going to tell you, but new stuff. Very exciting. You can find the show on Twitter. We are The Zone Cast on Twitter. You can go to our Tumblr page where we collect a lot of fan art, including the episode wrap-ups by Leon Roselar, which are fucking phenomenal. They're like, they're some of the best drawings on the whole internet. You can find all of that at our Tumblr, which you can reach at theadventure.zone. You'll also find new episodes as they go up, some character sheets, which I need to update, and all kinds of great stuff. So go check that out, theadventure.zone. We have a character name dedication for Kurtz, who you just heard. Unfortunately, I didn't save the specific tweet that this Mr. Kurtz tweeted at us, but rest assured, if your last name is Kurtz and you tweeted about our show, this one's for you, buddy. We'll be recording a new chunk of episodes here in probably a few days. So if you want some character dedications, you want an NPC named after you, just tweet about the show using the hashtag TheZoneCast, and we will make sure you are immortalized. Well, not all of you. There's a very small chance, but you could be immortalized forever. That's really it for the announcements. You know all of our other junk. We got a Facebook group, all that garbage. But again, really, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so, so much for listening to the show, for sharing the show, for recommending it on iTunes. Our listenership has grown just so much faster than we ever thought possible. And that's because of all of you. We get so many kind comments about the show on Twitter and the Maximum Fun Reddit page. Thank you all so much for helping this become a successful show so quickly. It really is very moving.
Life is the greatest adventure, and then just behind that, the best adventure is the internet. And if you're gonna wander into the internet, into parts unknown, you're gonna need a good buddy there to have your back. And that good buddy, if I may recommend one, should be Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time all in one place, all on your terms. Me and Justin and Travis have all used Squarespace to make websites, and it really couldn't be easier to make something that is beautiful and super functional, and it can be a personal website all about you or for your business or whatever. You can start a completely personalized website with the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint. You get to choose from professionally curated layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business and optimized for every device. You can do selling stuff on there with seamless checkout. You can do credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, whatever. You can also upload video content if you're like a video person. You can organize your video library and showcase your content on beautiful video pages. It really is a great system, and it's just sort of like the go-to default thing for us when we need a website, because it's easy to make something that looks like you worked really, really, really hard on it, but you don't actually have to work that hard on it. Squarespace makes it easy. Go to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/adventure to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. What's up, guys? It's Griffin, your Dungeon Master, and you may know me from being Dracula sometimes. I got some exciting announcements for you. First of all, we got some tour dates coming up. Some of them you may know about already. We're going to be in Chicago during C2E2 later this April. We're going to be doing Mabim Bam, which is sold out. There are still tickets available for the Adventure Zone show. Not many tickets, and this is probably pertinent to your interest. What we're going to be doing for that live show is our first live stab at Taz versus Dracula, albeit in a one-shot format. We are calling Taz versus Moby Dick. Same characters from Taz versus Dracula, but they're going to fight Moby Dick. And that's, I've not read the book, so that's important for you to know what you're in for there. We are also in May going to be doing shows in Vancouver and Tacoma, Washington. And then in June, we're coming to Kansas City, Chesterfield, Missouri, and Tysons, Virginia. Tickets for the Chicago shows are on sale now. Tickets for all the other shows go on sale Friday, April 12th at 10 a.m. local time, local to the cities where we are performing. You can go to bit.ly/McElroy Tours for tickets and more information. Also, we got some new merch up in the merch store for the month of April. We are doing a stuffy bundle with Tyler Thrasher. You can get a stuffed Geralt and Tyler's Schrodinger's cat blind box, which includes one of three possible cat plushies. There's some other stuff up in the merch store too over at McElroyMerch.com, and 10% of all proceeds this month will go to the Palestine Children's Relief Fund. So check all that out. Come see us if we are coming near you. We'll probably have some more shows to announce for you soon. But until then, keep it locked and enjoy the rest of the episode. Bye.
If you're enjoying the show, don't forget Maximum Fun has a lot of other really great podcasts for you to listen to, including ones we do, like My Brother and Me, Bunker Buddies, and Sawbones. But there's a ton of great non-McElroy products out there, too, like Stop Podcasting Yourself, The Goose Down, Song Exploder, Lady to Lady, so many really terrific shows, and you can find all those at MaximumFun.org. That's enough from me. Again, thank you all so much. We love you very much, and now back to the adventure. Sorry that things are getting kind of bleak, but without failure, you'll never know how sweet success tastes. I don't know, that's probably a thing people say. All right, bye.
So, okay, listen, we know that touching the glove from the outside is really bad. It's not good. We know that putting the glove on is, like, probably really stupid.
Can we cut off his arm?
I mean, it would probably just break off. I just don't know if it's safe to take it. I mean, it's obviously really powerful.
All right, look, we had two people interested in the gauntlet. One of them is now dead.
Right.
Let's wake up the other one. Let her have it.
You tried to wake her up. She's not asleep. She's concussed. She's unconscious.
She's totes unconscious. Well,
could she not be healed?
Yeah, I guess.
It's kind of what I do.
That is true.
Hold on. What if it's like the umbrella, where you just need to put the gauntlet on and then beat a check, and then you control it?
Well, okay, you twisted my arm. I think that's magical. I magic. This is the sort of thing that I've trained for, and I put the glove
your
on.
Wait, can
life.
We save? Can we hit a save point before we do that?
You know you're not really good at this stuff.
Yes, that is exactly why I decided it would be a good idea.
As you approach the glove taco, I actually want you to make a will check, a wisdom check. You're making a wisdom check. There was a thing in the last game called will in the last edition, but you're just sort of making a wisdom check.
16.
Okay. Okay. The glove was contesting that, but it failed. You almost felt like the glove was trying to take you over. It almost felt like the glove wanted you to come take it and put it on. Almost like it was speaking to you, like, you know, come put this dope glove on.
Okay.
Listen. But you beat that check, and you sort of push that temptation aside.
Well, but I just realized it was happening, right? I mean, I knew. I felt that impulse as I was walking towards it. That's given me second thoughts. So listen, the glove really wants me to put it on. Can I get some group input on this thing?
I say you back up. I think that we've just seen it not only, like, the destroy a town, but two people that were using it.
I don't disagree. Here's my argument, though. It is obviously very dangerous. We can't leave it here. We also can't touch it.
Oh, I want to search Killian to see what else she had on her.
That was it. You've robbed this poor, unconscious woman blind.
So she didn't have any means of containment for this thing?
You pull up her sleeve, and she has on her a metal bracer that has a sort of strange symbol on it, but it doesn't have any sort of clasp or fastener. It just seems to be, like, on her, and it doesn't seem like you would be able to get it off.
I cast Sense Mechanism.
You don't have that.
No, I don't.
You don't have.
My cheating playing cards to cheat the game and cast Sense Mechanism.
I'll do an Arcana check on the bracer.
Okay.
15.
Okay. And what is an Arcana check? You're just sort of trying to detect whether it's magical.
17.
Okay. 17.
17.
It is some sort of magic item, but you get the sense that whatever sort of magic in it isn't especially powerful. Whatever sort of enchantment is on it is not, I don't know, this thing's not going to shoot death rays or anything. You get the sense that it's a very light, very minor enchantment.
I think that's where she's getting her knowledge about this thing from. So one of us needs to get it off her and on ourselves.
Why do you think that she's learning stuff from that?
Well, because she knows about the gauntlet but can't tell us about it.
Just so you know, Griffin, the Arcana check measures my ability to recall lore about spells, magic items, eldritch symbols, magical traditions, the planes of existence, and the inhabitants of those planes.
So you detect on this bracer, just because it is a very simple, almost crude piece of equipment with a single symbol on it, you recall hearing about like messaging equipment, almost like a relay or a communicator, where, you know, a very simple message could be passed, or perhaps even just sort of a signal can be displayed or transmitted.
Well, if I press that one symbol on the bracer, does anything happen?
It does nothing to your touch, no.
Okay, let me use healing word.
Yeah, go for
it. It'll be my last spell slot. Well,
first, I'm gonna tie our hands together in front. Okay. Tie our feet together before we heal her and wake her up. Because it feels like everything's kind of shook out as far as it's going to shake out for right now.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, you use that rope that you used to climb up earlier.
And when she finds out you stole all her shit.
Yeah, she won't be so psyched about that.
I would say I'm more holding in an escrow until we figure out what's going on.
I gingerly slide the feather duster back into her hand.
Okay.
Okay, so she regains hit points equal to 1d4 plus my spell casting ability modifier. So what should I roll?
A d4.
2 plus wisdom, which is 5.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 7. Okay, that was enough to wake her up from... She was unconscious. She was basically at 0. And you tied her up?
Yep.
Okay, her hands and feet are bound. She wakes up and sits up, sees her hands, her feet are bound, looks around, and goes, well, I guess, guess we didn't save Phandalin, huh?
Yeah, I would say so.
I guess we did a bad job. She sees you with her crossbow, Magnus, and says, I'd like that back, please. And my hands would like those back, too, if I could just use them.
Okay. I feel like we probably could have done more for Phandalin had we known what the fuck was going on before we came here.
How many fucking times do I have to tell you that I literally can't tell you anything? I can't tell you any helpful information. I can't tell you.
I feel like you could have done a little more.
Maybe a little more.
Like some context clues or perhaps some shrouds.
Maybe drop the hint that he was going to turn into a giant of fire.
Let me draw a picture.
All right. Okay. Fine. Let's try this. You tell me when it gets staticky. Cool?
Okay.
I have to pick my words very carefully. I'm an employee of a group of concerned people. How is it so far?
So far, so good.
No crackling. No interference.
Who are working to...
Yeah, there we go. We got crackles on our end.
Oh, God.
Got crackle.
Who are working to make the whole land safer. How's that?
Okay, that all is clear, except that's hard to buy because the first time we met you, you sicked a giant grinder thing on us.
I thought you were trying to stop my group of people from doing a good thing.
Well, you're a little bit grind and ask questions later.
Yeah.
Is your inability to talk to us related to your bracer?
Oh, this old thing? No.
what is that old thing then?
What's the bracer for?
Oh, Jesus.
I'm just asking.
Oh, no, well, see, just... whenever you touch the thing on my bracer, it from the...
I think you were faking that one. I think you're just doing
you
that.
You kind of spit a little on that one.
She suddenly looks over and sees the gauntlet again and says, wait a minute. How have none of you grabbed the gauntlet and put it on?
Oh, we're super cool.
We're really chill, and honestly, I was afraid if we're just putting it out there.
You mean it's Thrall didn't take you over?
No, I'm dumb, but super willful. It wasn't even a thing for me. I was fine.
She looks you see that same look in her face that she had when she saw you defeated Magic Brian, where she is just thoroughly impressed with you guys. She says, where did you guys come from?
Your mama.
That's a pretty good burn. I would think you would all be orcs or at least like all of the same sort of like race, but.
Well, I was born in Raven's Roost.
Not the backstory.
That's for the blog, she says. she says, okay, I'm going to let you guys in. I swear to the gods.
Don't make me cast my truth spell again.
No truth spell required. Nothing but open honesty because I think we could use people like you. She says, if you've already escaped the thrall of that thing that I can't say the name of.
Mm-hmm. Let's just say Glovey.
Glovey, fine. If you've already escaped the thrall of Glovey, you can collect it. And we can take it somewhere where it will never do anything like this ever again. She says, but you have to let me out of here.
She got as far as collect it, and I started sprinting back towards the glove.
Okay.
Merle, should we let her go?
You grab the glove, and it doesn't burn you. It's almost as if it has sort of accepted you. You pick the glove
wear
up.
Wear it on a chain around your neck. She yells, on a chain around your neck.
She yells, don't put it on, don't put it on. Don't put it on. Because then Griffin would have to completely rewrite the rest of the campaign. Don't put that thing on.
Can I
she say that?
Can I look at the gauntlet and go,
My precious.
No, you may not.
I throw it in my bag so they don't have to do a thrall check.
Okay. Yeah, from okay. Yeah, you toss it in your bag.
And listen, if we're buying in that much, you might as well let her go.
All right.
Might as well free her.
Okay. I undo my overly complicated knots.
Okay.
Don't give her the crossbow though.
I want my crossbow though, kind of.
Tough.
I like it a lot.
Tough.
Look at the handle of it. See my engraving?
We don't trust you.
Have you named your crossbow?
Yeah, it's called Billups.
That was supposed to be a check on a Twitter name, Griffin.
There'll be time for that later, she says.
There'll be time for me to open up Twitter later. Okay, I hand her the crossbow, but I keep the bolts.
Okay. She says, that's fair. I'm not going to need it. We're regrouping right now, so if you could just untie me, then we could get this show on the road.
We untie her.
Okay. She kills you. She stands up, dusts herself off. She turns to Merle and says, thanks for the healing. I guess it's kind of the least you can do since the three of you landed on me and did not.
It's a tiny well.
It was your fault.
Well, that's debatable. There'll be time for blame later. She says, we need to get somewhere where the ground's not as hard.
Or glassy.
Or glassy, yeah.
Or this, full of dead people that we failed to save.
There's no, like, corpses.
I imagine it's kind of like Pompeii, where the ash is probably pretty mixed in.
There's no ash. It's just black glass. Almost, it burned the ground. It was so hot that everything just sort of evaporated. You might be breathing in some
folks. Were the people of this town at least, like, really, like, not so nice people? Something that just, like, softens the blow?
Yeah, they were all orc racist. Does that make you feel better?
It does. It does a little bit.
She starts walking towards the edge of the glass. She points her finger at the ground about 100 feet away and presses the rune on her bracer, and it starts to flash.
Griffin, quick question. Her feet kind of sliding around the black glass? Like, it's a little bit humorous if it wasn't such a serious situation.
All of your locomotion on this glass is wacky. It's okay. Difficult. It's difficult and also wacky terrain. So you have half half movement, and also all your movements are super wacky.
Or Annie Lennox walking on broken glass.
So. Oh, shit, Dad.
Yeah, you can have that one.
Slam dunk. That's the first. That one's yours. That's your first reference you've done so far that I've, like, really approved of, other than Kenny Chesney. That one was pretty great, too. She points her finger at the ground about 100 feet away, touches the rune on her bracer, and it starts to flash yellow intermittently about every 3 seconds. It flashes yellow. She says, just sort of waiting for approval here. And then it turs a solid blue. Her router has connected to the internet. She says, and now we just wait. Shouldn't take too long. What are your names again?
Magnus.
I'm Merle Highchurch.
How about that one? No.
I'm Taco, and he doesn't normally sound like that.
He's just trying to impress you.
Yeah, well, mission accomplished. Oh, boy.
I'm Magnus Burnsides.
Seriously, where did you guys come from? You have done some pretty impossible feats.
I'm from Raven's Roost.
Oh, God.
Look, we've got some time while we wait. So let me tell you, I was born the son of a carpenter.
We've got about 30 seconds. So.
Okay, I was born the son of a carpenter.
We were in prison together.
What?
Wow, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how about you just don't make those character choices for people?
Yeah, fighting the man. We were fighting the man.
What man?
You know, the man. The man. You know.
Charles.
The man.
Charles.
I told you it was a very powerful god. It's pronounced Thimmon. We've been over this so many times.
About 5 more seconds.
Well.
what's your deal? What?
My deal is, you hear a sound from up above, and...
Don't tell them!
The cloud...
keep it to yourself!
Julian!
From a cloud hanging above the city, the cloud just sort of bursts apart, and you see a shape flying down,
It's the angel of Barry Blue Jeans!
Suddenly, a seraphim reveals himself to you. Y'all did great. A figure is flying down. It has burst through the cloud, and it lands about in the spot that Killian pointed to. And she starts walking towards it. She's like, come on.
And it's Al.
Get the lead up.
He said, I don't know why you haven't leaped yet, Killian.
God, Travis, you're giving me ideas now. I've got like 4 pages of campaign notes. I'll throw them shits in the garbage.
Sam.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
You move towards the shape, and as you get close to it, you see a glass sphere with some solid metal trimming around it. It's about the size of a Volkswagen Beetle.
Oh.
This episode's sponsored also by Volkswagen. And inside is 4 chairs. And Killian taps on the glass, and an aperture opens that she climbs through and sits in and straps herself into one of the chairs.
It's really lucky that there's not just like 3 chairs or like 16 chairs.
Yeah.
It's very fitting. There's 4 of us, right?
She says, it's best if you don't think about it.
Okay.
Are there Luna bars?
Yeah, there's lots of Luna bars in here. There's a we got a med kit. If you want to stitch yourself up, I can prep some tea. It's not great tea.
With the delicious vitamins and Luna bars, we don't even need a med kit.
That's right,
Travis. Because Luna bars are graded A for deliciousness and nutritiousness.
None of those start with A, though.
For a delicious bar.
So, if you wondered what Dungeons & Dragons is, that's how you play it. The end. That's just one example of how to play Dungeons and Dragons.
Buy your own kits at home and supplement your own Loot Bar advertisements.
Say whatever dumb shit.
You can advertise whatever you want. Geico? Mattresses?
Geico mattresses?
Whatever.
We ensure the greatest sleep you've ever had.
She's like, hop in. Come on.
Okay. Magnus hops in and picks the best seat, the one up front next to the driver.
You got shotgun.
Yep.
There doesn't seem to be any kind of steering apparatus.
I know how this works. So we do it with our brains.
Well, then you're going to crash. Right. You're going to crash into the sun.
All right. I turn to Taco and I say, it'll be all right. Come on.
I'm scared.
Let's get on the big glass ball.
Okay.
Okay, it'll be fun.
Don't tell me twice.
Arcana check.
Twenty-four. I know exactly what it is. I built it. My dad made it.
It is a vehicle. You are detecting a magical signature. You don't know what it is, but you're detecting it at the... top of the...
This isn't a detection. It's more about, like, against my knowledge of the arcane arts.
You don't... There is a... Okay, you recognize the enchantment. There is a compression enchantment. It's almost like there's something in there that is very big that, by magical means, has been made very small.
Okay, it's a TARDIS.
Guys,
we get into the TARDIS.
Here's what we're dealing with. It's a compression... Man.
We're all already inside the ball. You're just standing outside.
What we've got here...
This is your standard order magic compression thing.
What we got here is compression magic.
It'll make you look slimmer. You wear it underneath your clothes. It compresses.
It lifts and separates.
I'll give you a Luna bar if you sit down.
All right, I sit down.
Open up.
While you are feeding him, you open up the hangar and fly the airplane in, Killian shuts the door, taps on her bracer a couple of times, and from above you, there was a very small sort of overhead trunk on the top of the ball that opens up, and a giant balloon pops out, basically a hot air balloon that doesn't seem to have any sort of brazier filling it. It's just sort of filling up on its own, and before you know it, the 4 of you are off, and you're floating through the night sky. It's a beautiful, clear night, aside from the horrible carnage beneath, which almost serves as like a giant black mirror for the night sky above.
It's still kind of funny.
It's not funny as much as it is like weirdly beautiful. because other than a few clouds, the sky is clear. You can see there are two moons shining over the world. You pass over and see the big city lights of Neverwinter. You pass over the Sword Mountains and over...
Is it more like Wonka Vader-esque or more like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang-esque?
It's kind of Wonka Vader-esque. It's kind of got that feel to it, except a glass and spherical and a hot air balloon. So not really anything like that.
Okay.
And I'd like to also point out to everybody that in case of a water landing, our seats do serve as flotation devices.
Do they also serve as toilets? Because I had a bunch of ale before we started the adventure.
And a bunch of Luna bars, Killian says. Those things will clean you right out.
Yeah,
this episode's brought to you by Luna bars. They'll clean you completely out. Oh, my God. It's like you got a cheesecloth in there and you scrubbed it out real good.
Guys, I just realized I left my keys in there. How do you turn around?
All my library books.
I'm
going to have to pay for those.
You're floating higher and higher. You pass through the clouds that were overhead, and soon it's just you and the night sky and the two moons. And Killian says, sort of bemusedly, "You guys are gonna love what happens next."
Is it like a movie?
Yes, we have an in-flight movie. It is
Rush Hour 2. Rush Hour 2. Rush Hour 2.
It's Rush Hour 3.
No. That was a real misstep for the franchise.
You are flying through the night sky. You're going ever higher, and suddenly it kind of dawns on you that one of those two moons in the night sky is getting much larger than you thought it was going to, much faster than it was going to. You're not really you haven't broken the stratosphere. You're not in outer space, but it's almost like you can reach out and touch the moon.
Oh, that's no moon.
I knew somebody was going to make that goof, and you didn't let me down. Thank you, my nerd-ass dad.
Guys, the moon's expanding.
Killian says...
I just said it's no moon.
Killian
Magnus
says,
wakes up. What's going on?
You wake up just in time to see a
bridesmaid.
A bridesmaid has started. You've just finished Rush Hour 3. Are any of you even paying attention to the goddamn moon, or are you too busy watching the in-flight movie?
I said it was no moon.
Okay. You wake up, Magnus, just in time to see a portcullis? Is that a word?
A portcullis.
Hold on.
Yep.
That's like a castle gate, right?
Gate. There's an aperture that sort of slides open in the moon. And
ew.
It's getting bigger and bigger and
a
bigger.
A porthole.
A porthole. And suddenly you have gone through it. You have gone into the moon. And you are surrounded by blackness, inky, inky blackness. And Killian says, well, guys, hold on to your butts.
Okay, I roll up butt holding. Okay, 14 on holding my butt.
I grab my butt.
I also grab my butt, and I talk with it. And it's a hilarious topical reference that everyone in the sphere gets.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hi, I'm Brian Fernandez, a.k.a. Sonny D., producer of Jordan, Jesse, Go.
I'm Lindsay Pavlis, producer of Wham Bam Pow.
We're the stars of Maximum Fun's first web video series, Brian and Lindsay Will Totally Eat That.
Someone throws us a snack, we eat it, and then we rate it on a scale from yummy to crummy.
We've recorded a pilot, and we're raising funding for the series on Kickstarter until February 20th.
And if we receive enough backers, we will receive a huge challenge grant from our friends at Hover.com.
Go to MaximumFun.org/totes. Seat for more info or find us on Kickstarter.
question for you.
Shoot it at me.
You gonna eat that?
Totally.